We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Tanny, let's do it.
Okay, Russ, for the score in Chicago. The Danny Parkins Show.
Least helpful local talk show host, Danny Parkins.
Afternoons on the Score.
Twitter is down, by the way.
Okay, so
Twitter
it's not just
down.
Me, right?
No.
Okay.
It's down.
Twitter is down right now.
So if you've noticed, like, your anxiety has decreased, it's because Twitter is unavailable.
It's not just about the lifestyle and the Twitter.
The Wani bingo board.
Hopefully Twitter's up next week so we can get this out there so
hopefully
people
not.
Can actually play along.
It's gone forever.
Yeah, that's the thing. Do we want Twitter to come back for the content or just be done?
And if you choose to be on negative Twitter, then you're not welcome on positive Twitter, ever. And there needs to be Twitter police, because there's so much negativity that's generated.
I got real trigger happy with the mute button about 4 or 5 months ago, and it's made Twitter a much more pleasant experience.
The block party. Did you get the invitation to the block party? Here it is.
A much, much more pleasant experience. It's not nearly as anger or anxiety inducing as it used to be before. I just went crazy with that mute button a few months ago.
This mute button is so huge. You gotta get that mute button turned on.
To me, it's the addictive nature of scrolling.
Yeah.
It's not even necessarily, like, it's not that I can't handle feedback or people MFing me or saying horrible things or, you know, wanting me fired or die, or whatever it is.
They can be following me without me knowing, right? Choose to read my tweet and then take that personally. That's like going into a town square, seeing a big notice board, and there's a notice, guitar lessons, and you go, but I don't want guitar lessons. There's a number here. All right, all that, right? Are you giving me guitar lessons? Yeah. I don't want any. Fine, it's not for you then. Just walk away. Don't worry about it.
You're so funny, man.
The Danny Parkin Show.
That's what all the kids listen to you, man. You are the best thing on the radio!
Afternoons 2 to 6 on 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago's sports station.
Thank you for spending some time with us here on the Danny Parkin Show. Rami Makhlouf is in. Beautifully done, Chris Tannehill, imagining a world without Twitter. Rami, how old are you, by the way?
41.
41?
I know. I don't look it, do I?
Ah, you don't look a day over 39.
Thank you. Appreciate
that
it.
That is ancient.
Just turned 41, like a little over a week ago.
Congratulations.
Thank
Happy
you.
Birthday.
Happy birthday, Mike.
I will then ask you this question, and I feel like this question is always clouded to whoever I ask it to by their age and their generation and, like, when they got introduced to social media. Is social media a net positive or net negative on society?
Oh, would I be riding the fence if I said it was a push? Because I think like any other medium, it can be used for great purposes and great causes. But it can also be used for, like, white supremacy and wacky conspiracy theories. So can I say it's a push? Is that am I riding the proverbial fence if I say that?
Yes. Okay. Yes, you are.
Then I'll say net negative then. If you're going to make me pick, I would say it leans slightly negative. But there's plenty of good to take out of it. And like I said yesterday, man, use that mute button, or if you prefer to block people. I don't like giving them that badge of courage. People will actually, like, take a screenshot of you blocking them and then tweet out, "Oh, so and so blocked me." I'm not giving them that pleasure or that time of day or that thought. Mute button is perfect, because then they don't even know. They just scream into the void and they just think you're ignoring them, and that's the worst thing you can do to a troll.
Yeah, I agree with you. Mute over block. I just, for a long time, I was, like, overwhelming net positive. and just not really listening to the arguments that were that it was net negative. But you see the misinformation, the conspiracy theories, the lack of any sort of like policing or censorship or anything like that. No responsibility from like the big tech giants who run these companies. What it's done internationally. Like, I mean, in some places, Facebook is synonymous with the internet, right? There is no internet, but there is Facebook.
Right.
And that's led to like really dangerous things in some third world countries, like including an up to civil war and contributed to some genocide. It's this, then you learn about like the social dilemma, that documentary, and like how we're being like engineered to be addicted to this stuff.
I haven't watched that yet. I'm scared. I'm literally scared to watch that. Like the worst, it's like the worst horror movie ever. It is Halloween time though, so maybe I should watch it and really get a good scare.
Yeah, well, you'll wonder a couple things. You'll want to delete Facebook if you haven't already.
I haven't, but I almost never go on. You know what I use Facebook for? Free promotion of comedy shows. That's the only thing I use Facebook for now.
Yeah, I'm not on Facebook often either, but just you recognize the true power of Facebook.
Sure.
When you watch that documentary and how many people do use it.
Yeah.
And so like even if you and I maybe are too young to like, because it used to be a young person's thing exclusively, and now it seems to skew older. Like my grandma's on Facebook all the time. But it's just, I don't know, man. Whether it's Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, they have hacked us. They have rewired our brains to be addicted to the feedback of that stuff. And it is downright scary.
Are you doing anything to fight back?
No.
Me neither. That's exactly what I was thinking the whole time you were saying that. And what am I going to do about it? Nothing. Probably nothing.
I'll tell you what I did. I put on your phone, you can put like locks on apps, like time limits.
Oh, I have not seen that. No.
Yeah. So I put a time limit of 1 hour on my Twitter app on my phone. And then when you get to that hour limit, it gives you like a little hourglass comes, it locks the app, and it says, you know, you've hit your limit. Like, close app, extend limit 15 minutes, or ignore limit for the day. And every single day, around 10:30 in the morning, when I've been on Twitter for at least an hour already, I hit ignore limit for the day and just keep it moving.
Charging through. Just chugging along. Has the kid changed that at all?
No.
Okay.
No, not at all. Still on it all the time. Bit. Yeah, no, not even slightly.
Not taking any of your attention.
No.
Okay.
Not at all. Texter says,
mom,
hey, maybe.
Right?
What'd you say?
He's got a mom, right?
Yeah, he's got a mom. Maybe. he's only 20 pounds. I can hold him in one arm and scroll Twitter
in
the other.
That's true. You can multitask. Yeah. He's capable.
Texter says, maybe they've just rewired your brain because you're weak-minded. Yeah. Yeah.
Possibly.
Fine. Well, you think that's an insult?
It's totally possible. Yeah.
Yeah. These companies that are worth trillions of dollars that have some of the smartest data mining and tech scientists anywhere in the world, they've won against me.
It's not
you're
like
right.
Our brains are being hacked by idiots. Our brains are being hacked by evil geniuses with all the resources in the world. Like, they're not doing this easily. It's taking some work and some money and some time.
Yeah, exactly. Like Google and Facebook and Twitter, they're pretty good at what they're doing.
They have more money and time than I do, and they have an advantage in this chess match of them trying to hack my brain.
I'm totally helpless against the powers of the strongest, most powerful companies in the world. Yeah.
You idiots. How could you fall victim to that, huh?
Yeah. Watch The Social Dilemma and come back to me and say that I'm weak-minded, okay? It's how they built these things.
Exactly.
Like, it's ridiculous.
It's why they're as rich as they are. It's exactly why they're as rich as they are. But they're not getting that guy. That guy who texted you, they didn't get him. He's too strong-minded.
Yeah. Texter says, so according to you, the only negative on the internet is white supremacy. If that's true, you are simply a moron. I dare you to share this comment on the air.
I was just giving examples. Stop. There's
plenty of bad
stuff.
And by the way, you dared me to share it? Truth or dare? There, I said, no, there's way more than just that. There's Holocaust denial. There's just straight up misinformation. Both sides. Yeah, there's both sides that have misinformation. That's true. It skews more one way than the other right now, but that's just an apolitical observation.
I just don't know who's the guy who's like, why are you pointing out white supremacy? Like, why not?
Right.
why not? Why wouldn't I?
God, you want to dismiss that as a bad thing? Yeah, my bad, man.
Sorry.
But it's anyway.
So
I don't know how we.
They just report the news. There's no commentary. There's no opinion.
Mike Gundy, One American News. Send him a T-shirt and a hat. He'll rock the whole thing. Sweatsuit, tracksuit. Let's go. All right, I got a list of things, Rami, I want to see from the Bears against the Panthers.
Okay.
In order for me to be satisfied on Monday.
I really just have one. I'm a simple man. I'm easy to please. I have one thing that I want to see against the Panthers on Sunday.
Okay. I've got a list. We'll compare notes next on The Score.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run Finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Hey, Matt, will it be Bars or Coward Sunday at guard? And how much does Coward's experience, when you're 4-1 and a contender, how much does that factor in as far as having him rather than a guy who maybe you think might be better down the road?
Yeah, I'm not going to get into that today as to who we're going to start, but I just know that in regards to both guys, we have a lot of confidence in both of them.
What's the strategic disadvantage you would face if you named a starter publicly today?
I don't know. I don't know, but that's just kind of where we're at. There's nothing personal, Mark, I promise you.
I give baseball a lot of crap for being dumb, and I love it. But there's just a lot of, unwritten rules and arbitrary morality, sliding scales of justice within the sport of baseball. What you just heard right there from Matt Nagy makes the medal stand of my top three least favorite things and dumb things about my game of football, Rami.
But does it still irritate you? I've gotten so used to it. And I used to have debates with my old co-hosts up in Milwaukee about why are we even playing coaches talk? Because they're either going to tell you nothing or just say things just speak platitudes into a microphone that they know the media and the fans want to hear. Like a lot of the time, those press conferences are largely a waste of everyone's time, are they not? And it doesn't irritate me anymore. I've just come to terms with it.
Yeah, but that doesn't mean that you're right. I'm not surprised by it anymore, but there's a difference between not being surprised or expecting something to happen,
right,
and still being cool with it. I hate that NFL teams pretend their information is guarding the code to Fort Knox.
Right, it's the FBI versus the KGB. It's really not. They're just playing football.
And this isn't even a quarterback or a skill position guy or a pass rusher or someone that you would game plan around. Who's game planning?
You don't think
around
the Panthers are game planning around Rashawn Coward?
Rashawn Coward and Alex Bars? No. They're both bad.
Panthers can go into Sunday knowing the guard is bad. That position, bad. No matter what name is on the back of the jersey.
What's the strategic disadvantage you would face if you named a starter publicly today?
I don't know.
At least he admitted it, though. That's about as honest as you'll get a head coach to be. At least he admitted, I don't know why I'm doing this BS, man. I have no idea. It's just what I do.
That's right.
It's become second nature to me, to BS.
It's just such a weird copycat league. It's Belichick does it, so I guess we all have to do it. You could announce your starting guard. It would be fine.
I don't know.
I don't know. But let me guess the one thing you want to see from the Bears on Sunday. Let me guess.
Yeah.
A win?
Touchdowns. Not just a win. And touchdowns from the offense. I love the defense and when they get turnovers and can take it back to the house and they do their pose in front of the camera. Awesome. It's a lot of fun and it's great football. I want this offense to score points, Danny, because you've been talking about it all week. And actually, I was going to ask you coming into today's show, are you ready to start doubting Matt Nagy at least as an offensive mind, and really having some serious doubts about Matt Nagy as an offensive mind after you've been saying all week, pointing out that the Panthers are 25th in DVOA. And did you say 29th in yards per rush right now? Because
they're 31st in yards per rush.
My bad.
The Bears are 29th in rushing. The Panthers are 31st in yards per carry allowed. They're giving up 5.3 yards per carry.
Because I agree with a lot of what you say about Matt Nagy, and in the transition with Bernstein and Cole Wright, he is, like, you can say, and any time a head coach racks up the winning record that Matt Nagy has to this point, as the head coach of the Bears, you can point to that and go, look, that guy wins, and that's really all you have to ask for from a head coach. And there's a lot more that goes into it than being an offensive coordinator and calling plays and putting together a playbook. Absolutely. I'm not doubting that. But at what point is it not enough? And this guy who was hired because he was an offensive mastermind and he was going to come in here and make this an offensive powerhouse of a football team, at what point is it not enough when that guy's offense consistently doesn't score touchdowns and put up points?
So it's not this game, but this is the first game where I would say I have high expectations for the offense. Does that make sense?
This season.
Yeah. Exactly. This season. No, listen, I bet on Mitch Trubisky to be MVP.
Literally.
Literally.
Wait, you did?
Yeah, now in fairness.
Put money down?
Yeah.
Did you just like the odds? You were like, I could win a lot of money if I win.
That's what it was.
Okay, all right. Okay.
I said the odds. I picked Mahomes on the show, but I said 200-1 is ridiculous for a guy coming off of a 12-win season with his second year in a good offense. If he takes the same leap that Carson Wentz or Jared Goff or Mahomes took, then he will be, you know, they could win 12-13 games.
Sure.
The quarterback of a 13-win team is going to be an MVP candidate. Instead, it was one of the most disappointing 8-8 seasons I've ever watched. And as Bears guys, we've seen a lot of disappointing 8-8 years.
Yeah.
So the... it's not like everything is on this game, but I will take it as a personal affront to me.
I'm not saying
as a Matt Nagy defender. Like it'll be personal.
I'm not saying Monday are you going to come on here and turn on Matt Nagy, go heel on Matt Nagy and ask for his head on a platter. I'm just saying, will this start to build in some doubt for you in terms of whether or not he'll ever figure this offensive thing out as a head coach?
So yeah, it will. This will be, I will be very disappointed if they play poorly. I will be very, offensively, I will be very critical of them and him on Monday if they play poorly. I think all of the criticism will be valid if they play poorly offensively. The one thing, and I promise you this isn't me quibbling, I was told when the Bears hired Matt Nagy that he was the best head coaching candidate that had ever been an assistant to Andy Reid. And you think about it, right? Doug Peterson, John Harbaugh, all the guys. There was literally a time 2 years ago when 8 of the 32 coaches in the NFL were either Andy Reid or former Andy Reid assistants. 25% of the damn league.
Yeah, before people were getting hired just for being Sean McVay's friend, it was Andy Reid who you wanted to be in sniffing distance of.
But the guy who told me that did not say that he was like an offensive genius.
Okay.
It was that he was the best head coaching candidate. And so there's a difference, right? Like Kyle Shanahan or Sean McVay are plays on the back of the napkin, offensive wizards, rewriting football. Whereas Nagy was always, everybody loves him. Natural born leader, commands the room, gets the guys to rally around, all of that sort of stuff. And then in addition to, Andy Reid famously has this binder of basically like, it's like his head coaching. You read this thing, you have this thing. It's like your head coaching doctorate. And then you can go and you can, it teaches you how to be a head coach or whatever. And so I figured he knows that system. He has all of those intangibles. He'll be a great head coach. But yeah, if the offense sucks the rest of the year with Nick Foles, there will be concern of, man, is this guy better to just be a CEO and then have delegate, right? You got a COO, you have a CFO, and just delegate offensive coordinator duties to someone else. Now, my hypothesis is that the offense will be better with Foles than it was with Mitch. And at the end of this year, Nagy's going to get to truly pick a quarterback, whether it's in the form, hopefully, of a first-round draft pick, or it's going to be like you know, the Lions get the number one pick, take Trevor Lawrence, and now Matt Stafford's available unexpectedly.
Right.
Or the Falcons get the number one pick and Matt Ryan's available unexpectedly. Or Dak Prescott is available unexpectedly from the Cowboys, right? Like, that's possible. But I think that Matt Nagy is going to get to choose a quarterback and groom a quarterback because he inherited Trubisky and Foles was the guy who he could get this offseason that knew the system.
I would have zero problem with Matt Nagy because I don't think Ryan Pace has done a great job of giving him offensive talent. I don't see huge difference. You were talking about planning around a guard sarcastically. I don't know that the Bears have any playmakers, any skill players on offense that defenses really have to design around. So I'm not saying Matt Nagy has had a lot to work with, but I think there was more juice to squeeze out of the lemon of Mitch Trubisky. I think there is more to get out of Tariq Cohen. I think there is more to get out of David Montgomery. And Wani essentially said the same thing to us yesterday, Danny, when I asked him about the difference between how some guys, namely the running back, I'm drawing a blank on the last name now. Mike Davis was the example that we used because of how much he's doing in Carolina versus what he did in Chicago. And I asked Wani, is that something that Matt Nagy is not so great at, what we're seeing in Carolina right now, which is putting a guy in a position to succeed and getting the most out of him and starting at the quarterback and going down the skill positions? I don't think he has world beaters. I don't think he has MVPs, but I do look at those guys and go, if that guy was put in a different spot, I think there's more to get out of him. That's my problem with Matt Nagy. I don't expect this offense to be great. I just think there's more there.
It's totally fair. And also, I mean, I think that you're even giving him a break there that I don't give him. I mean, he was the coach when they got Allen Robinson. He was the coach when they drafted Anthony Miller, when they drafted David Montgomery, when they drafted Cole Kmet.
Like, sure, he had input.
So he is involved. They are bringing in these guys for his system.
Trey Burton, with
Matt Nagy's approval. So the team is Matt Nagy's at every position except quarterback. And now with Foles, people say, well, that's Matt Nagy's choice. Yeah, it was his choice from a very limited pool,
right,
with the expectation of Trubisky is starting week one because we have to figure out what is going on with Mitch Trubisky, and we're not going to scrap our entire system, you know, and bring in Cam Newton and rewrite the offense. Like, right, he's just not at that level yet as a head coach, and this team isn't there yet, right? Bill Belichick's been doing it for forever, so he will scrap something and build around a new toy, and hopefully Matt Nagy gets there. He ain't there yet. So my expectation is against the Panthers, one, David Montgomery has to have his best game of the year. So far, his best game of the year was the Giants game. He had 16 carries for 82 rushing yards. He needs to surpass both those numbers. There's no reason for him not to. He should be able to. If they're giving up 5.5 yards a carry almost, and their best defensive lineman's out, and you are perfectly healthy and have had 10 days of rest leading into this game, you absolutely should be able to run for 100 yards. I think that is totally reasonable.
I think that's fair. I think that's fair.
And then it's the lowest over-under total for the week, so it is expected to be a low-scoring game. Score above league average. Score 26 or 27 points. Just, like, be above average offensively.
Wouldn't 30 be nice?
30 would be
nice. Oh,
man,
doesn't 30 sound good to you right now?
Score more points.
Yeah, 30 would be great. But all I'm saying is my bar isn't that high because I don't think their ceiling with Nick Foles is that high. But against this defense, with extra rest, and Matt Nagy, by the way, he's 1-4 as head coach of the Bears, either coming off a bye or coming off Thursday Night Football. So he has not been good with extra rest. It hasn't shown to be an advantage for him. I hope he starts to rewrite that script, and I'm expecting him to, again, with a quarterback who can execute a sophisticated game plan, be above average with points, dominate on the ground, win the game. That's not unreasonable.
Not at all.
That is it. That is not that high of a bar for Matt Nagy's offense at this point in his career and this point in this season.
And really, I mean, you thought where I was going when I said I just want one thing out of this game on Sunday was a win. Ultimately, that is how I feel about this Bears team. Like, I almost never expect a win to be pretty, but rack as many of them up as you can to put yourself in good playoff position, and maybe that defense gets hot and starts causing two or three turnovers come January and February and taking a few of them back to the house, and you're hot and lucky at just the right time, and you're bringing a trophy back home for a parade. Are we gonna be doing parades? Parades are never gonna be a thing again. Are
Don't
they?
Be ridiculous.
Okay. All right.
Now you're making.
Sorry,
up.
My bad.
That was.
Are we gonna have a virtual parade, a Zoom parade? Is that what we're gonna do?
Yeah. I mean, have they announced anything for Lakers fans?
Well, they just flooded the streets. They didn't care.
Sure. Well, yeah. Okay. Well, that will happen.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah. Well. It'll be a championship super spreader event.
You know, I went to the Cubs World Series parade, and if you asked me if I would go if there was a pandemic, I might say yes.
That's reasonable. We should explore that some more.
I might say yes.
In a pandemic, would you go to a parade to celebrate your team's championship? Light it up! 312-644-6767. It's the Danny Parker Show.
For that one in particular, for that Cubs World Series, I think I would say yes.
Yeah, not
for
just
sure.
Like,
not just right.
Yeah, not the Hawks' fourth title
of
the 21st century.
The Hawks?
Yeah, that's ridiculous. It's the Danny Parker Show on the Score.
I eat the pizza all by myself. Nobody else eats. Eat the pizza.
It is Pizza Friday. I'm not there for it. Shane, could you maybe explain, or Tanny, to Rami Makhlouf, who's in all week, exactly what is Pizza Friday? Because it just it confuses me.
Yeah, there's something to explain?
I started talking about it last week, and I know like a lot of people don't get it. I know you've got a really good handle on what we do on Fridays. Do you want to start today?
Yeah, well, I got a lot of questions, comments, concerns, like to my corporate email and my Twitter, people asking, well, what's this Pizza Friday all about? I hear you guys talk about it frequently, usually on a Friday, which is a good observation.
Makes sense.
Yeah. So what Pizza Friday is basically, on Fridays we have pizza.
You get it?
Okay.
Right. So, right. Rami, it's like an end of the week kind of thing.
Right. And, okay.
Friday falls on the end of the week. It's the day that we choose to eat pizza. Since today, like, I don't know if you know this, Rami, but you'll go to bed tonight. You won't have to wake up tomorrow and go to work because today's the end of the week. It's Friday.
That's been the last 5 months for me, Shane.
Right. Sorry about that. We usually choose to eat pizza on Fridays.
That's a good policy.
Right. Yeah.
I'm all for it.
We had a brainstorming session. It was like a big old writer's meeting. We're like, hey, what should we call this?
Super creative.
It was Lynn Bramer's idea.
That's why this show is what it is, because of the geniuses that you guys are.
Right. But see, Rami, it's deeper than that. Like, this is content creation and naming days.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Right.
Branding.
Right.
Do you have any other days in the works? Like,
no,
like a bagel Thursday or
no.
No?
That's all ridiculous. Right.
No.
It's sorry. My bad.
Respect it.
I'm sorry. Okay. I used to do spaghetti Mondays when I was in college. Me and my roommate had spaghetti every Monday. If you guys want to work that into the rotation, I don't know. Just
we
don't
have cold really cuts as a kid.
But if you could just like let us have this one thing.
Sorry.
If we could just have Pizza Friday.
All right. Yeah. My bad. Yeah.
But
my
now problem. Now you're a part of the club. You understand.
It's an honor and a pleasure.
Yeah, you get it. Okay, good. I'm glad. So Teddy Bridgewater is going up against the Bears. His numbers have been pretty good. For a while there, the Bears were linked to him this offseason. How much of a quarterback advantage do you think the Panthers have? Significant? Insignificant? How much better is Bridgewater than Foles in your mind?
Okay, full disclosure, I just was working in Minneapolis before I got this little stint here on the Score in Chicago, and I took a lot of heat because Teddy Bridgewater hasn't started a game for the Vikings and has been 4 years, 5 years since he's actually played for the Minnesota Vikings, and I'm convinced he could win a mayoral election right now. That's how beloved Teddy Bridgewater still is in the city of Minneapolis and amongst Vikings fans. And it wasn't, they wouldn't even talk about how good a quarterback he is, but just what a good dude he is and the leadership qualities and everything else that he's got. And that I bought, but I always said, like, okay, but give me the guy with the skills. Get like the first thing I'm looking for in a quarterback is, can you throw the football? And Teddy Bridgewater, he's accurate, but he doesn't have the strongest arm, or at least that was never on display. And I just said, Teddy Bridgewater, outside of the leadership qualities and those intangibles, is kind of a mediocre quarterback. And I still believe that. I just think that, and not to keep harping on this and making the same point over and over again, Danny, but I just think that Matt Rhule is doing a better job of getting more out of Teddy Bridgewater than we've seen Matt Nagy do yet with Nick Foles. And I say yet because, in fairness, we've only had, what, 2.5 games of Nick Foles with
two games and a quarter. So
no training camp, no preseason, no nothing. So as of today, though, what I've seen of Nick Foles in Matt Nagy's system, other than that comeback against Atlanta, has not been impressive. So I think they don't have the better quarterback per se, but they're getting better quarterback play right now out of a guy who I think is comparable in skills to Nick Foles. I think that's fair to say.
Yeah, it is. I think Bridgewater's better. I think he's 10%, maybe 15% better. I mean, he got a $60 million contract, right? This is a guy who has shown a higher floor than Nick Foles.
Sure.
I think. Like he's a more consistent player, whereas Foles is very volatile, very up and down, very streaky, and Teddy Bridgewater, when healthy, has been fairly consistent. And the Panthers, man, we got to give that team credit. DJ Moore, Robbie Anderson, Curtis Samuel, used to be Christian McCaffrey, now it's Mike Davis. Like, that's a pretty good position, a group of skill position guys. Chuck Pagano said it was the best group of receivers the Bears have faced this year. I don't know if I go that far. They played the Falcons.
And the Buccaneers have a pretty good stable of guys when they're healthy.
Yeah, right. Well, Godwin was hurt.
Sure.
I agree. Like, so I think he maybe went like a step too far. But Teddy Bridgewater's got a good group there in Carolina, and I've been very impressed with him so far. We'll see what Olin Krutz has to say about it. And I want to ask Olin a very simple question. What does he feel like he knows about the Bears? Because they are like a weird 4-1. So I'm curious, like, good or bad, what does he feel like he knows about the Bears? We'll talk to Olin Krutz next on The Score.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.